Good evening and hello world, my name is Don and you're watching Showcase for the week ending Sunday, October 23rd, 2022. Man, where has the year gone? We're already looking at November. Yes, yes, thanks Control. Stop the presses. This is our Sunday show and of course that means weird headlines and your live chat comments. With me once again tonight is my good friend and colleague, Mr. Kaiko. How are we doing tonight?
Me here. Living.
All right, cool. How was your weekend, man?
Busy, unentertaining, unfulfilling, uneventful, dull. What's another bad adjective?
Sorry, I left my thesaurus in my other pants.
Listen. But yeah, man, I'm breathing non-tainted oxygen, so I'm all right.
That's always positive. Non-tainted oxygen for the win. Here's to non-tainted oxygen. Cheers.
Yes, sir. Let me get some a little iced tea right up
there. There you go. Label free, stream friendly. Anyway, all right. So thanks so much for joining me. Do we have Ash again? Do we have your dad?
We got Pop's joining us today. He's gonna add his 2 cents to his 53 cents. You feel me? So
hello. Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't catch it. Sorry?
I was just saying hello to everyone. Hello.
Hello. Good to hear you again. Those who are just joining us, this is the voice of Ash, Kaiko's father. He's joining us basically only via voice. We don't have a second webcam for him. So like that's what that is basically. But thanks so much for joining us again. It was a lot of fun having you on Friday's trailer reaction show, which is still up right now. If you want to go ahead and check that after the show tonight. But thanks for joining us, both of y'all. And are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. Awesome. Well, then that's our intro for the most part. And one last thought. Thank you at home as well for joining us live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. Don't forget to hit that like, follow, subscribe, and all that sort of stuff. And the subscription bell, of course. And as always, if you are with us live, please feel free to drop us a line in the live chat. And we just might read it off live on air. So let's go ahead and get the ball rolling here with the first order of business. Come on. Give us the... Oh, shoot. I forgot to expand the window. There we go. Okay. All right. So let's get going. First item on the docket actually is a user submission. We don't have very... we haven't had very much opportunity to bring in user-generated, user-submitted input. But just a reminder, the Linktree page scrolling at the bottom of the screen right now has a contact form. So if you have weird news headlines or suggestions for movie trailers that we can do, so long as they fit certain criteria that we cover on the channel, you can submit it in and we'll actually bring it up on the show, such as this topic that was submitted to us by Mel from Melbourne, Australia. Thanks so much, Mel, for watching and submitting. This comes to us from Associated Press. I am so sorry. Hang on a second. This is the wrong one. Here's the right one. This story comes to us from Mel from Melbourne, Australia. Brain cells in a lab dish learn to play Pong and offer a window onto intelligence.
Wow.
Apparently this is a thing here. Let's see. A dish of living brain cells has learned to play the 1970s arcade game Pong. About 800,000 cells linked to a computer gradually learned to sense the position of the game's electronic ball and control a virtual paddle, a team reports in the journal Neuron. The novel achievement is part of an effort to understand how the brain learns and how to make computers more intelligent. Brett Kagan, an author of the study and chief scientific officer at Cortical Labs in Melbourne, Australia, says, quote, "We've made huge strides with silicon computing, but they're still rigid and inflexible. That's something we don't see with biology," end quote. For example, both computers and people can learn to make a cup of tea, Kagan says, but people are able to generalize what they've learned in a way a computer can't. Okay, so Kaiko, Ash, your thoughts.
Hey, I love this kind of stuff. This is evolution. This is the next step in a human evolution, I think. I'm big on that. I believe that this is good stuff. I believe we're heading in the right direction with that. We just got to be cautious, careful, you know? We need an off switch or something like that is all I say. Mm. But it's good stuff. Good stuff.
So you're saying, so you're suggesting like at a certain point, we need to be able to sort of pull the plug on this. It's not, it's still kind of early days, it sounds like, artificial intelligence to really...
No, no. I'm saying we have to be very cautious. I believe that, you know, we are going to become intertwined with computers, you know. So all I'm saying is, we got to, as humans, we got to just try to be in control. Don't let it slip.
You're talking about synthesis, the idea of humans and artificial intelligence, human intelligence and artificial intelligence walking side by side, hand in hand.
Or even being put together, cyborgs, you know, like the early beginning of the human and artificial intelligence, you know, coming together. I believe that's the next step of evolution in humanity. So, you know, I think it's good stuff. I think it's good work.
So what I'm trying to understand is, this is human brain cells that I have been attached to a computer. That's what this is.
So let's see. Cortical Labs has been trying to understand how living brain cells acquire intelligence, basically. Let's see. I skipped ahead a little tiny bit. Kagan says, you might have never been to someone's house. But with a bit of rummaging and searching, you can probably make a decent cup of tea as long as I've got the ingredients, end quote. But even a very powerful computer would struggle to carry out that task in an unfamiliar environment. So Cortical Labs has been trying to understand how living brain cells acquire this sort of intelligence. And Kagan says, let's skip this ahead a little bit, quote, if we allow these cells to know the outcome of their actions, will they actually be able to change in some sort of goal-directed way, end quote. Okay, so it looks like they're taking these random brain cells and putting them in an environment where they can sort of be weaned into the process of, I guess, learning what their environment is and how it adapts to what their thought process is. You know, they're controlling the paddle in Pong and sort of using that to sort of stress test the point at which reaction sort of gives way to autonomy, gives way to free will.
Amazing. I'm
sort of mischaracterizing the experiment a little bit. But basically, that's my understanding of what this is trying to do, essentially. And that actually begs some very fascinating questions about the nature of free will in and of itself, at least as humans have come to understand it.
Because that's what I'm trying to understand. Is this mechanical and biological substance being fused together? Is that what's happening right here? Because if that's what's happening right here, I'm saying
it looks like the cyborg. Yeah, it looks like both. You can see in the caption at the bottom of the screen here, I have to read this for the podcast audience, this scanning electron microscope image shows a neural culture growing on a high-density multi-electrode array. The system allowed researchers to train neurons to play the video game Pong. Okay, so that's literally what they're doing. They're fusing sort of organic brain cells, you know, which is, I hesitate to call it tissue. I was about to call it tissue, but they're growing this onto a multi-electrode array, basically treating the array like a petri dish, and measuring. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, because you just said yourself that, you know, what is free will, and so what I'm saying is that's what I see is being given to machines now, free will.
Yeah. One last thought, and we have to move on. A layer of living neurons is grown on a special silicon chip at the bottom of a thumb-sized dish filled with nutrients. Yeah, to foster growth. The chip, which is linked to a computer, can both detect electrical signals produced by the neurons and deliver electrical signals to them. So that's basically a quick and dirty of how the experiment works. And there's a YouTube video attached to this. We played a little bit of a clip earlier, but we have a bunch more topics that we need to get to. But this was a very fascinating topic that was submitted to us by a viewer, Mel from Melbourne, Australia. Thanks so much once again for that special submission. And don't forget, those of you at home, if you have other weird news items that you think we should be doing some commentary on, or trailers that we should react to on Friday nights, use the contact form on the Linktree page that's scrolling to the bottom of the screen, and we'll be happy to take a look. Any final thoughts before we move on? I think that's it, right?
No, that's keep it moving.
All right, cool. Let's keep it moving. Next item comes to us from Associated Press. Woman charged and accused of freeing a swarm of bees on deputies. This was first published last Wednesday, October 19. Let's see. Here we are. A Massachusetts woman is facing multiple assault and battery charges for allegedly releasing a swarm of bees on a group of sheriff's deputies, some of them allergic to bee stings. Wow. As they tried to serve an eviction notice, authorities said. Rory S. Woods, 55, pleaded not guilty at her arraignment on October 12 in Springfield District Court and was released without bail. This was reported by MassLive.com. Her lawyer did not immediately respond to a voicemail left by the Associated Press on Wednesday. Let's just pause there for a moment. Kaiko, Ash, your thoughts.
I mean, I guess she found a way, you know, she found a way to get out of some trouble, and that's it. I mean, you know, what can I say, you know?
I mean, wouldn't say that's getting out of trouble. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, what I said, she escaped what she was trying to escape in her mind there at that point in time. But, hey, you know, I guess it depends on how they want to take it. She can just claim to be got out.
But, I mean, we're talking about bees being essentially weaponized in a way that dodges legal responsibility for something, and that puts deputies' lives at stake. The story just said some of them are allergic to bee stings. Yeah, Kaika, what do you got on this?
Allergic. Wow. I mean, if she did that, that's an interesting go too. Is she a beekeeper? Is that what this is?
It seems like it is. With an outfit like that, it would stand to reason.
Right. she said so look, you know, listen, I'm not gonna incriminate her and say she did it on purpose, but
yeah,
you know what I'm saying,
she might have. It sounds like she did, but I mean,
that's an interesting weapon.
She's not responsible for who's allergic to it.
Yeah,
I mean, so, you know, not everybody's allergic to it.
She ain't though.
So the Hampden County Sheriff's Department deputies went to a home in Longmeadow on the morning of October 12 and were met by protesters, according to the official department report. Woods, who lives in Hadley, soon arrived in an SUV towing a trailer carrying beehives, a whole trailer of beehives. She started shaking the hives, broke the cover off one, causing hundreds of bees to swarm out and initially sting one deputy, according to the report. Woods, who put on a beekeeper suit to protect herself, was eventually handcuffed, but not before several more Sheriff's Department employees were stung, including three who were allergic to bees. When Woods was told that several officers were allergic to bees, she said, quote, "Oh, you're allergic? Good." End quote.
Oh, well, the lady, wicked. So
she'll pay for that.
Yeah.
Hampden County Sheriff Nick Cochi said Woods could have faced more serious charges if anything worse had happened to those stung. Nick said, quote, "We had one staff member go to the hospital, and luckily he was all right." End quote. So, I mean, good grief.
Listen, I don't like the police, but they ain't deserve that. They ain't deserve a leg to be seen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's no bueno. Hope they all pulled through that. Okay, just from a trauma perspective, good grief! Right. Imagine getting chased. Imagine like being served, like I don't know, serving an eviction notice or a warrant or something.
Right, that's what I was gonna say. Like, an eviction notice.
And that's what they choose to use to sort of dodge it. You know, like, I don't know. Good grief. That's messed up on a lot of levels. We don't have time to go into, but yeah, there you go. Let's move on to another item from the Associated Press. Are you a mosquito magnet? It could be your smell. This was published last Tuesday, October 18. Ugh.
Look at that thing. Well, that's the blood sack right there. Look at that. Let's take another look at that blood sack right there. Well, look at that.
That is quite engorged with blood. Right there,
that's a vampire right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. A new study finds that some people really are mosquito magnets, and it probably has to do with the way they smell. The researchers found that people who are most attractive to mosquitoes produce a lot of certain chemicals on their skin that are tied to smell. And bad news for mosquito magnets, the bloodsuckers stay loyal to their favorites over time. Heck, I could have told you that. Study author Leslie Voss-Hall, a neurobiologist at Rockefeller University in New York, said, quote, "If you have high levels of this stuff on your skin, you're going to be the one at the picnic getting all the bites. There's a lot of folklore about who gets bitten more, but many claims aren't backed up with strong evidence." Okay.
So what is the thing?
Let's see. What are they
attracted to?
I'm trying to find it. It's not telling us. Because we need to know. Mm-hmm. There you go, right there.
Okay, out of the favorites, the researchers found a common factor. Mosquito magnets had high levels of certain acids on their skin. These greasy molecules are part of the skin's natural moisturizing layer, and people produce them in different amounts. The healthy bacteria that live on the skin eat up these acids and produce part of our skin's odor profile. "You can't get rid of these acids without damaging your skin health too," said Voss-Hall, who is paid by the Howard Hughes Medical Institute and serves as its chief scientific officer. The Institute also supports the Associated Press's Health and Science Department. I guess I have to say that, too, because that's full disclosure for the source here. But the research could help find new methods to repel mosquitoes, said Jeff Raffel, a neurobiologist at the University of Washington, who was not involved with the study. He said there may be ways to tinker with skin bacteria and change humans' tantalizing smells. Still, figuring out ways to fight off mosquitoes isn't easy since the critters have evolved to be lean, mean, biting machines. Ms. D says, smell? Okay, what do mosquitoes not like so I can wear it? End quote. Right. Well, the story kind of ends there. Go ahead, Ash.
No, I'm saying that's what I'm saying. I agree. What is it, you know, what is it that we have to wear or not wear to keep them away?
We have to buy their book if you want to know.
Let's see. They asked 64 volunteers from the university and nearby to wear nylon stockings around their forearms to pick up their skin smells. The stockings were put in separate traps at the end of a long tube. Then dozens of mosquitoes were released. They would swarm to the most attractive subjects. It became obvious right away. But again, they're not.
Right.
Hang on.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
They're not. They're not very specific about what exactly the scent is. But I guess it just basically boils down to a case-by-case, individual-to-individual basis. If you find yourself getting a lot of mosquito bites, you can pretty much chalk it up to what sort of your natural body odor is. Wear lots of sleeves, you know, to sort of, like, protect yourself. Obviously, you know, if you're going to be out and about during, like, you know, say, warm weather, you know, especially during spring, summertime, you know, peak mosquito biting weather, and sort of be aware that, you know, of factors that might well contribute to what your natural body odor is. You know, there's some stuff that, you know, obviously physical activity can be a factor, depending on what you're into. Diet can be a factor in determining what your odor profile is, what your natural odor profile is, or just take a bath more often. I don't know.
that's where I was going. I don't think that this type of soap, like, because I use this natural soap that is like made from like the earth. And so, you know, what I'm saying is I don't think it makes a difference if I use that as opposed to Old Spice now to keep mosquitoes away from me. You see what I'm saying? That soap, yeah. You take a, because you just said take a bath. I'm saying I don't think taking a bath is really going to do it for you.
I mean, I know. I'm just partially kidding. I know. I'm just saying. And we just saw the thing. The story was saying that you can't actually remove your natural scent from your skin without damaging the skin. Right. So it's like you can only loofah, but so much. I guess.
But like they probably have soap that keeps bugs away from you. Oh. And if they don't have it, I'm gonna write this down and I'm gonna make it.
Well, we have a date and time stamped YouTube video now where you've essentially laid claim to the idea here. If nobody else has done that, I don't know. I don't want to say one way or another if that has been done, but at least we know that you've staked your claim there.
Right.
If not.
Right.
So. I claim this planet in the name of Mars. Isn't that lovely? All right. Let's move on. Next item on the docket comes to us from, let's see, here we are. National Public Radio. Eclipse, the dog, known for riding the bus alone to the dog park, has died.
What?
Yeah, I thought that was a sad thing, man. This is, you know.
What dog?
He just rode the bus to his favorite spot. Back and forth.
This was first published by NPR on October 16th.
Yeah.
Last Sunday, I think? Yeah. Ash, it sounds like you're pretty familiar with this.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty sad news. You know, I think animals have a lot of intelligence, and you know that just shows good intelligence. And I just, you know, it just makes me feel sad. You know, I love animals, and I just, you know, it's just sad to me to see that, you know, he passed away.
So Eclipse gained attention in 2015 when she began to take the bus alone. Her owner, Jeff Young, says the two of them would regularly take the bus to visit their local Belltown dog park. One day, he was still smoking a cigarette when the bus arrived, so she boarded without him. Within weeks, the Black Lab Bull Mastiff Mix was a constant commuter in her signature red harness. Bus drivers recognized her, and she knew her stop by looking out the window. Mm-hmm. While fans marveled at Eclipse's ability, Young spoke about her habit with what could be taken as nonchalance or perhaps confidence in his dog. He told KOMO News, quote, "We get separated, she gets on the bus without me, and I catch up with her at the dog park. It's not hard to get on. She gets on in front of her house, and she gets off at the dog park three or four stops later," end quote.
Wow.
Yeah. She was 10 years old and died in her sleep, according to her owner-run Facebook account. Prior post shared that she had been diagnosed with cancerous tumors.
Wow. Yeah.
That's cool stuff.
That is, but
that's sad.
Yeah. I guess condolences to Jeff, the owner. So yeah, but yeah, this like Ash was saying a moment ago, you know, there's a lot that can be said about animal intelligence, and you know, it's really easy to sort of look at human existence as, you know, different as two like markedly different, if not in on some narcissistic level inherently superior to animal life, or at the very least non-human life. But it's like life is life in all facets of like the biological sort of spectrum. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, that's you can funny. Sort of make that sort of overstep. Go ahead, Kaiko.
No, I was saying, especially when they're a kind of pet, you know, the animals mm-hmm. that we choose to make pets out of, it makes it a little, even, you know, a little closer, harder to.
Ms. D, once again, she decided not to wait for her owner. She got herself to the park. Gets that's the weird part. Yeah. That's I guess what we can extrapolate from right. from this as being the weird part. But yeah, because that don't happen commonly. So there you go. All right. And this hits also a little bit closer home because, like, I myself am a dog owner. I don't know. Ash, Kaiko, you guys own dogs?
In the past, yeah.
In the past.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know.
I don't want to say own, but anyway.
Yeah, it's the same way with the cats. You know, the cats. See, our cats are very intelligent cats. You know, one of them know how to open the front door. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's crazy.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's yeah. But anyway, let's go ahead and move on. Hopefully we can get some more. We can get some positive ones here. Let's see. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 topics left to get through. We're coming up on the halfway point of the hour. This next one is from National Public Radio. Two California bakers create a life-size Han Solo out of bread.
I wouldn't eat that though. You know, I don't like when food looks like animals and people. I can't eat it. Like cake, especially cake. I hate when people make cakes that look like people. I'll eat the clothing parts of the person. I don't want to eat the head. I don't want no eye in my cake. I don't want no head, no finger in my cake.
Well, what difference does it make if it's all edible? If it's all the same stuff, what is it, just the idea of?
Yeah, what about the gingerbread man?
I don't know. See, that looked like a cookie.
Well,
isn't this just a significantly more detailed version of the gingerbread man?
He looked real. He just looked too real, and I wouldn't.
Animal cracker.
I mean, to be fair, it should kind of go without saying that. You know, this was bound to happen. You know, if you're gonna freeze someone in carbohydrates, you gotta go all the way. You know,
you know,
I don't know.
So
anyway, here we go. We have a little board, chalkboard next to it. Our hero Pan Solo has been trapped in Levanite by the evil Java the Hutt. Java.
That's good.
Yep, that'll do it. Brain Spaz says, Kaiko, would you eat cake that looks exactly like a shoe? Interesting question.
Yeah. I would eat a shoe. Yeah, I could eat a shoe. I can eat no head. Yeah. I don't want to listen. You know. Even if I was a zombie, I wouldn't eat no flesh. Well, so you know, I'd never be a carnivore, a cannibal. You know, I'd never be no Hannibal Lecter.
Listen, have you ever seen the little videos out there with the dogs? The owner's showing the dog that they're cutting into a dog, you know, as a cake or something, and even the dogs run away.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And they look real. The dog, the cake look real,
and the dogs run
like
away
like a real dog.
Wait a minute. Are you saying this is like a virtual, like a photo manipulation or some sort of special visual effect or something for social media?
No, they made a cake. It looked exactly like the dog.
Uh-huh.
And then the dog they made the cake based off of looked at the cake and saw them cut into it, and he ran away.
Well, that's just mean and traumatizing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm saying I wouldn't eat that cake because that cake looks so real. I wouldn't eat it.
Look like a person.
Yeah. And I'm saying at least I wouldn't eat the face. I eat like the middle part. I don't want the butt either.
I don't
want
to know what part it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Kaiko has, I guess, very discerning culinary standards when it comes to edible people. Let's go ahead and move on. Thanks so much for watching Weird News right here on Weekend Showcase, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. And thank you for smashing that like button, subscribe, follow, and notification bell. Remember, we have the Linktree link scrolling at the bottom of the screen. If you're at home and you have ideas for Weird News topics that that you think we should be talking about when we do these shows on every Sunday night, or when we do our trailer reactions. If you've got movie trailers or TV video game trailers that might be good to react to on Friday night live right here, shoot us a note on the Contact Us form on the Linktree page, and we'll be happy to include it in the playlist and maybe give you a shout out on air like we did at the top of the show tonight. So let's go ahead and move on.
To brain spaz, though, I would eat a real shoe. So
let's why?
And that's some weird news right there.
Wait. No. Wait. You're not going to just get away with saying that arbitrarily. Hold on. Before we move on to anything else, why did you just say that?
Listen, what because you said, would you eat a cake that looks like a shoe? And I'm saying, yes, I'd eat a cake that looked like a shoe. Why eat a real shoe?
Well, if it's leather.
That's not answering the question. That's reaffirming that you would. There's no establishment of logic as to why.
If you cook it right, then it good. You cook the rubber the best part. Listen, the shoelace is probably, the shoelace, eat that like spaghetti, boy. I'll tell you what, that's probably the best supper you can get.
And then if it's real leather, I mean, it's the skin of a cow, so, I mean... That's edible.
You eat steak and potatoes. You eat steak and spaghetti.
It all depends on how you season that.
Steak and spaghetti.
It all depends on how you season that shoe.
So
I can say.
Steak and spaghetti.
Okay, this has gone on too long. Let's move on. let's move on to the next topic. Oh my goodness. All right. Okay. wow. Voted most likely to troll a YouTube stream. All right, there you go. Next item is from NDTV. This is a video of a neuroparasite. Hold on a second, get this out of the screen. Neuroparasite shocks internet, turns dead bug into zombie after taking control of brain. This is a real life body snatcher neuroparasite.
Wow.
Okay. This was first published, actually, I can't tell when it was published, but last updated last Wednesday, October 19. This image here is a screen grab, I guess. Let's see.
That's cocoon
brain of this, or from the insect that's being taken over, I guess. Here we are. In the video that was posted by Indian Forest Service employee Dr. Samrat Gowda on his Twitter account, the bug, appears to be moving rather normally despite being without the majority of its internal organs. The officer claimed in the caption, quote, "A neuroparasite has taken control of the brain of this dead insect and is making it walk, ." zombie, end quote. According to National Geographic, some parasites more or less turn their hosts into the walking dead. These masters of mind control manipulate their hosts from within, causing them to act in self-destructive ways that ultimately benefit the parasite. Do we want to see this video?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Your discretion advised.
Okay.
This is the original video that was posted on Twitter. Let's see what we got here. Okay, here we go.
Wow.
Wow, you can see a cavity inside the insect.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. I've never seen anything like this before. Actually, I have. I used to see gameplay footage of Last of Us. That's the closest thing I can compare this to. This reeks of the Cordyceps virus, honestly. Or fungus, excuse me. It's a fungus, not really a virus.
Wow!
Yeah. Thank you, Control. yeah, that is uniquely mesmerizing. Ash, Kaiko, what do you got?
Oh gosh, this is it. I like that. Wow, this is amazing, man. But it's the fittest of the fittest. You know, it's just surviving.
Yeah,
it's trying to keep its species alive.
1.1 million views on Twitter right now.
What we're looking at is a dead bug,
basically. So,
yeah, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the shell,
yeah.
The exoskeleton of a bug.
Here's a Twitter comment from @Sidu96. This is a cockchafer beetle infected with a Cordyceps fungi. Yeah, Cordyceps in the video game Last of Us is based on a real life thing. They take control of the host movements, grows through an insect's body, creating a network of filaments that commandeers the insect's muscles.
Oh, yeah.
So Yeah, truth is it's commonly said that truth is stranger than fiction. Apparently, every so often we come across something that they're pretty much equal parts strange and equally up there in terms of how strange it is. This is one of those shining examples of, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is real.
Yeah.
Like, do not adjust your television.
How is it even using the body to move the legs and stuff like that? That's amazing.
It's almost like this fungus, though. Because does it have control of the brain? Can it see? Does it have, like, you can talk and stuff?
Right,
now?
You know?
It can talk like a bug. The fungus can now talk like a bug.
Yeah.
I think we may be reaching a little bit too far into science fiction by introducing the idea of, like, that level of sentience with a zombie insect. But, you know, and anyway, I mean, I'm just thinking of, like, bees. You know, the way that they communicate is, like, quote-unquote dancing. You know, they move their thorax in, like, particular ways. You know, the thorax and abdomen in order to sort of like communicate amongst other. Right. So it's one of those kinds of things where you can sort of imagine that being sort of the mode of communication. But this is deeply unsettling to think about as being as existing in the real world. Like, it's bad. And it's nightmare fuel enough to have encountered this stuff in video game form. And we're about to get an HBO show based on Last of Us next year. So this is timely to pop up in the news. But
So here's the thing. As us humans have to really understand that we're not the most intelligent things out there. I think there's, absolutely, you know, lots of very, very intelligent things, you know, creatures, whatever.
Yeah.
And we think we are, you know, we think we're the most intelligent, and we're not, I don't think.
A species among species, not a species above species.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah,
there's another way to phrase that. But anyway, let's move on to the next topic here. This comes to us from Ripley's. There's this and five more by the top of the hour. Let's see. Mystery surrounding penguin egg rejection finally explained. Okay, this was published last Tuesday, October 18. One of the most enigmatic birds on the planet is the erect crested penguin. Native to New Zealand, this highly isolated species hasn't been well studied over the years, which means many mysteries still surround them. At the top of the list is what they do with the first set of eggs laid during mating season. Instead of carefully incubating them, the penguins discard them, demonstrating a level of disinterest toward potential offspring rarely seen in the animal kingdom.
What?
Let's see. Until recently, scientists felt confounded by this behavior. After all, egg laying requires lots of energy, and energy isn't something animals like to waste, especially when survival is on the line. Nevertheless, the penguins keep ditching eggs, and now scientists have an explanation for this behavior. Here's what researchers have learned about these fascinating and remote birds. Before I go any further, Kaiko, Ash, any theories on this?
No, not at all. It's kind of
weird.
You're
not going to hazard a guess as to why? We're about to read it in a moment, but like...
Yeah. No, I mean, that's weird stuff. That's weird. I mean, that's weird, weird behavior.
All right, well, let's see. Wow, that's a lot of... I feel like this is a Where's Waldo. Look at all those penguins.
It do look like a painting. It do look like a drawing.
Yeah,
actually. Yeah. Let's
look at the water. It look like a painting. It do.
All right. Here's a guess. Here's one guess. Maybe they're afraid that predators would get the eggs, maybe? Okay. And so they're trying to conceal it somewhere or hide it somewhere. I don't know.
Okay, there's another.
Listen, I won't go back up to the picture of the eggs. I'm gonna keep it. Yeah. I'm gonna keep it 57 cent with you. I will eat one of these eggs.
Why only 57 cents? What about the other 43?
I mean, you know, listen, I don't have a whole dollar. First of all, I ain't that wealthy now. So, that's why I'm saying I will. If my unwealthiness will go get me one of these eggs, and I eat for about 2 weeks. Look how big this egg is. Nah, it's not that big. Well, no. The big egg is the penguin egg. That's why I'm saying I will eat. That's just in comparison to a chicken egg. I eat the penguin egg. I'd enjoy that penguin egg.
You get the best. Hey, go for your money.
Let's see. According to Lloyd Davis, the lead author of the scientist's most recent study, erect crested penguins treat the first egg they lay as disposable. In nearly half of all cases, mother penguins make no effort to build a nest or incubate them, and 90% of these mothers lay their first eggs atop an uneven rock platform, more or less guaranteeing they'll roll away.
Why?
Yeah, why exactly, Ash?
Jeez. Yeah, why?
So,
why?
So what's wrong with the red-crested penguin's first eggs? For starters, they're significantly smaller than the bird's second round of eggs. This bucks a common trend found in avifauna. As Davis explains, quote, in most birds, the clutch of eggs gets smaller as they're laid, but in this case, the second egg is on average 85% larger than the first one, end quote. Okay, so going back to this image, it looks like both of these eggs are samples from the same species of penguin, and just one is the firstborn. The smaller one is the firstborn. So I guess maybe it's sort of a deep-seated sort of survival calculation. Like, that's the arithmetic that the mother sort of makes in determining what eggs sort of get nurtured and survive, because she has to make a calculation about the survival of the species. I guess the bigger egg would hatch the bigger penguin, the bigger, stronger penguin that would have a better chance of survival, I guess. But that's good grief, that's cold math to make.
Wow.
If that's what she's doing, then she's intelligent. If that's not what she's doing, she's not intelligent.
Well, I mean, in the interest of the smaller egg, I would say that's not intelligent.
Right. The smaller egg, all the ones that hatch out, the smaller eggs can talk. So they say we can't let these humans know about these little talking baby penguins, so we got to kill them.
Oh, come on. They don't all squad up into top secret, you know, top secret squads that follow around a lion in Madagascar.
The article just said that there's a lot of mysteries about these penguins. Well, so I'm saying there's something deeper about these penguins than we are looking at right now.
I'm saying, listen, I was giving kudos to the intelligence of animals. Maybe these are just non-intelligent or lesser intelligent, you know?
Well, that's one working theory from Ash right there, Kaiko's dad. What about those of you at home watching along with us live? Drop us a comment. What are your thoughts on this or any of the topics that we've been discussing tonight? Don't forget, all of our resources for all of our topics are listed in the description for this video. If you're watching our stream on YouTube or Facebook, check the description of this video, and there's a full list of all of our topics for the night. And visit the Linktree page scrolling at the bottom of the screen if you have any topics that you'd like to suggest that we talk about on an upcoming Weird News stream right here on Weekend Showcase. Let's move on to the next topic, which, let's see, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more in the next 20 minutes. Let's see if we can get through that. Wait a minute. This next one didn't load. I'll have to sort of like, I'll have to circle back to that one. We'll probably save that one for like last or next to last. Let's see. Next one is from the Mirror. People blown away after learning what Kit Kat wafers are made from, and some had no idea.
Uh-oh. What am I made from? See, I'll be saying a lot of stuff, and then I begin to correct it. So let me hear what they're talking about.
Soylent Green is people! That's what I'm thinking of right now.
Come on. See, because you know how I feel about eating people, so I might not do it.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. There's a video going viral online. Here we are. Popular YouTuber Zach D Films posted a video about Kit Kats last week, which was titled "The Inside of Kit Kats Are Not What You Think," in which he told viewers that the wafer inside the chocolate treat is actually made from other discarded Kit Kats that have been broken during the manufacturing process.
That ain't so bad. So it's just chocolate. The whole thing is just chocolate. I don't get it. Is it cookie? I don't understand it.
Wait.
Yeah, go ahead, read it.
Hang on. Instead of throwing away the unusable bars, the company crushes them up and uses them to make more wafers, hoping to reduce Nestle's waste output.
So ain't nothing wrong with that.
I don't see how that's a problem.
Yeah, I don't see how that's a problem.
So I'm reminded of, there's an obvious flaw here, which is just, I guess, I hesitate to call it a sanitation thing because that's not what it is. It's just like it's a food age sort of thing. Like, but what are the standards by which they're judging it's okay to use these discarded bits of wafer to help make new wafers? I'm reminded of like the second episode of Futurama, I think it was, way back in like 99. There's a scene where Fry, the guy from 1999, he goes to the year 3000. That's the whole show. And the second episode, there's a scene where he's about to eat a sandwich. And Leela, the Cyclops character, makes this statement about how in the future, nothing gets thrown away. Even sandwiches are made from the remains of old discarded sandwiches.
Right. I think I remember that.
Are you kidding me right now? I mean, I know we're in 2023 almost, but are we kidding right now?
Well, what I'm saying is, all right, so the first part is, you said that the age thing, as far as is it old kid cast? I don't think it's old kid cast.
No, man. I think it's just a cycle. You know, if it's too long to fit the package, they just drop it into a thing.
But the problem
and
is,
it recycles.
But the problem is, it's not telling. What is a Kit Kat made out of? How can you tell me it's made out of other Kit Kats?
Yeah, that's not.
Then what are the other Kit Kats made of? Then is it just chocolate? Kit Kats.
Like other Kit Kats are made of other Kit Kats. It becomes this spiraling cyclical.
Exactly. Yeah. Just an endless cycle.
I thought they were going to say something like, you know, the inside, the wafer is made of plastic.
Cardboard.
I'm pretty sure if Kit Kats were made of cardboard, this would have made larger, right, wider headlines YouTube channel on a random Sunday night.
I don't see the problem there at all. It's all the same problem.
But I'm saying, you're not telling me what the cookie is. You're still not telling me what. So all I'm getting out of this is that this Kit Kat is a solid piece of chocolate. That's what I'm getting out of.
Yeah, exactly. A wafer mixed in.
Here
it is. This last section. One person said, these are comments. No way a Kit Kat is inside of a Kit Kat. I never would have thought. While another added, this takes recycling to another level. See? But one viewer was left with a very important question as they asked, so then what was the original Kit Kat bar made of?
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. There you go. What are you talking about?
And if they say that, then they're giving away their recipe.
It has to tell you. It's cookie. It's not, just a regular little. I mean,
but they're not going to tell you.
It's wafer.
Okay. Listen to this, guys. Listen to this. Yeah. The news that Nestle uses recycled Kit Kat bars to make the wafers in new bars of the chocolate treat was first discovered back in 2015. When the company themselves confirmed the process on a BBC documentary called Inside the Factory. On the show, Greg Wallace explored the Nestle factory in York, and employee Julie Walker explained how they make their wafers as cameras showed her pulling damaged bars off the conveyor belt and throwing them into a blue bucket. When Greg asked what happens to the bars she collects, Julie said they all go into rework, where they're used for the fillings for the wafers. We're picking off ones which are not of a good standard. That doesn't answer the initial question. How far back does it go as far as like the age of like the oldest Kit Kat pieces that are judged as usable, basically? And like, what did they start from? What was the original Kit Kat bar made from?
But they're not gonna tell you what the original is made from. They're gonna be giving away the recipe.
That's a big slap in the face, this article is. But I'm telling you that. That's like saying, listen, get some milk. It's got more milk in it.
It's loaded with lots of milk.
Yeah. 100% milk.
Whatever. 200%. I'm trying to find some interesting, comments here. Don't make a fuss about, this is from WR2. This is a comment on this original article from 2 days ago. What is wrong with that? Is a broken Kit Kat less edible than a whole Kit Kat? Don't make a fuss about this and single out Nestle. Visited a biscuit factory in Gwent in the 1980s, and they also used broken biscuits in their process. I'm sure public health departments would have stopped the practice. Would you be happy with increased prices if they did not? If companies did not use broken biscuits, why does the wafer not look brown? A lot of fuss about nothing. It's just, this is one of those topics that really sort of, at first glance, it sort of makes you do a double take, you know, wait a minute, is this really how this sort of thing works? And then you sort of think it through a little bit further and realize, wait a minute, if there really was a serious problem here, like public health implications, this probably would have been dealt with a lot more sort of viciously and expediently than, you know, by the time, all the time it would have taken to get to these airwaves on this show right now, to say nothing of the original source of this article in the Mirror or the documentary from 2015. So it's like, I don't know. It's off-putting more than it is weird, I guess, is the takeaway.
Yeah.
Do we agree, Keiko, Ash?
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leading to me.
Cool. Let's move on to next topic on the docket here. This is also from the Mirror. Expert explains cause of blue pumpkins and which colors are safe to eat.
I didn't even know they had blue pumpkins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every October, supermarket shelves are lined with rows of orange pumpkins, but if you visit a pumpkin farm, you might be surprised to find different colored fruits. Perhaps you'll even hear one startled visitor ask, "Can you get blue pumpkins?" This question was at the forefront of my mind when I went to a pumpkin patch for the first time last weekend, and I was amazed to see blue, green, and white varieties among the traditional orange options. Bemused, I was keen to know if these colorful crops can be classified as pumpkins. Thankfully, the Royal Horticultural Society's Joe Lofthouse had all the answers. This is an article by Amber O'Connor for The Mirror, last updated on Wednesday, October 19. Let's stop there before we go forward. Let's start with you, Ash. Would you eat a blue pumpkin?
Not if it's just one, it's just a one-off. I'd be like, I don't know. I'm not sure. I wouldn't want to eat it. I would probably want to preserve it, for one thing. So that's where I'm heading with that. I wouldn't want to eat it because I don't know why it's blue. And then, like I said, I would want to preserve it.
Okay, sure. That's fair. It's for the novelty of it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Kaiko, do you agree?
Now, I, on the other hand, would eat the, I like pumpkins. I'll eat the pumpkin. And you talking about preserving the pumpkin, but the pumpkin go bad. I'm going to eat the pumpkin.
After it went bad?
No, I'm saying the pumpkin gonna go bad. So how are you preserving it? I'm gonna eat it.
No. Well, I mean,
I thought I misheard you. Go ahead, Ash.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say I'm not gonna just put it away like that. I'm gonna like
freeze it.
No, put it in some kind of a. Well, now we have like a resin or something. You know, like
put
preserve
it, in,
it.
Put it in formaldehyde or something. Yeah,
put it in something that'll preserve it. You know what I'm saying?
So what, like a frog? That's what you do with formaldehyde.
A reptile corpse. Not embalm him.
Yeah.
Preserve
him. Yeah. Amphibian corpse. Yeah.
Would you eat it? I wouldn't eat it. Would you?
People like, they have that jack-o'-lanterns out until Christmas. And I'm saying you need to throw your jack-o'-lanterns away.
I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
If you have it set up to be able to be preserved in a way that you could just you could just put it in your garage or something until next year or whatever, basically, without attracting rats or something.
That's why I get fake stuff. I get fake plants and I get fake pumpkins.
Yeah, man.
Because I can have it forever.
Yeah, man.
But the manufacturing process creates a lot of non-biodegradable waste for that sort of thing, does it not?
What waste? What you throwing away? If I get a fake flower, what's getting thrown away from this fake flower? Is it going?
We just read a story where even the manufacturing process of Kit Kats creates enough waste that they have to justify it by recycling it back into the next run of products that we have to consume.
Wait, so if they take all, so what you're telling me is that if I get a whole bunch of fake trees and all the leaves fall off, we're going to pick all the leaves up and make a new fake tree. What's wrong with that?
Aside from the obvious physics implications of that being impossible, it feels like a false metaphor.
To a blank tree? You can clip the leaves to a blank tree?
Well, I mean, sure, but it's going to look like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree at the end of it.
That's what it's led to. We're going to have a Charlie Brown Christmas tree with my recycled fake leaves. There you go. There you go, folks. That's how we're doing Christmas this year.
All right, well, let's finish this topic on the other great pumpkin. Let's see. Speaking to The Mirror, the expert explained the phenomenon behind blue pumpkins, and it's safe to say the horticulturist at RHS Garden Harlow Carr knows his stuff. But that doesn't mean my question could be answered simply. Let's see. He explained, while winter squash come in many different colors, it tends to be the hard-skinned, round, orange, or sometimes white varieties that are thought of as pumpkins. However, it is a subject of some debate as to what constitutes a pumpkin and what is just another variety of winter squash, end quote. And then there are hundreds of different varieties to choose from. Colors range from familiar orange to red, yellow, green, gray, and even blue, with varying patterns and many weird and wonderful shapes and sizes. So this is less of like the vegetable going bad per se, or having some sort of weird genetic mutation or a genetically modified sort of thing, and more of a simple case of mistaken identity: pumpkin versus squash. You know,
I mean, I want a blue pie. I want a blue pie and then tell somebody, listen, this is a pumpkin pie. And they say, how is it a pumpkin pie? That look like a blueberry pie. I say, no, it's a pumpkin pie. You see what I'm saying?
That's one way to do it, I suppose. I mean, but that only works if you really, if enough of the blueness, what is it? Not the texture, but for visual consistency, for lack of a better way to describe it, actually translates over through the cooking process to where it looks.
Yeah. Better. I'm sure everything about it is blue. So the pie is going to come out blue.
Yeah.
Or a little food coloring.
And I'm sure you can enjoy a nice forkful of that while listening to Eiffel 65. I'm blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-da, you know? All right, well. All right, fine. That song was like 22 years ago. Fine. God, jeez. All right. Never mind. Moving on. Next item is from UPI. Brazilian man's far-popping eyes earned Guinness World Records. Whoa!
I've seen this before.
Farthest. Wow! This is the farthest eyeball pop.
Yeah, this is that's a cartoon right there. That is.
Am I?
I don't know. I can't play this on top of, like, obviously some people may be having dinner, so we're gonna go ahead and move on from that. But also, like, we can't play the Guinness World Records YouTube videos because we'll get hit with a content ID violation if we do that. Right. So, like, we're just gonna go ahead and read this. Let's see. Guinness World Records announced Sidney de Carvalho Mesquita, aka Tio Chico, was awarded the world record title for the farthest eyeball pop by a male when he showed off his unusual ability to make his eyes protrude 0.71 inches out of their sockets. He said his skill was discovered in childhood and his parents had originally feared it was a symptom of a disease, but he was given a clean bill of health by doctors. Record breaker said, quote, "My skill is definitely a gift. It came from my father, my mother, and the creator too," end quote. Okay. Mm. Okay, there you go. Last reactions to that before we move on?
Listen, I had a cousin that beat him back. She could pop her eye out completely.
Ain't no beating that one. She put it right back in.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and swipe left on that whole entire idea of what you just said. That's wow. Let's quickly move on to the next topic. I don't think we have anything more to add to this one. Let's see. Next topic is, this is Brain Spaz. Has said, "I wonder if he scares kids or do they think it's funny?" It's an interesting point/question there. That honestly kind of like almost traumatizes me as a full grown adult. So it's like,
I think kids these days would think it's funny though.
Yeah.
So
probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably. I wouldn't put it past them. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. This next to last topic comes from the Mirror. Inside a haunted jail where murderers were caged, and you can now stay as a hotel guest.
I would do it. I would do it in a heartbeat.
Seriously? You said you would do it?
I would do it in a heartbeat. Yeah, man. I look for things like, cause boy, listen, I got the power of anime on my side. Ain't no spirit about to get me.
That's not. I mean, what is that based on? Like, I know you're just kidding. Like, how far that rabbit hole you want to go with that?
How far do I want to go with that?
I mean, I would do it.
Yeah.
With not by myself though.
Not by myself. I wouldn't do it by myself either. No. I mean, listen. Because if you do it with other people, right? You might get possessed and you might hurt the other person. If you do it by yourself,
it's gonna be like The Shining, I think, right?
So if you do it by yourself, right, what's the worst that you're going to, the worst thing that can happen is death. I don't think you're going to die. So what I'm saying is you're going to experience things, but you'll leave.
I still won't do it by myself.
You know, you'll experience things.
Okay, hang on a second. Let's stress test the parameters of this. Ash, would you stay overnight, one night, in a haunted jail cell like this? $5 million.
Well, now you're bringing interesting stuff into it. $5 million, definitely. Okay. I mean,
yeah.
Why not? Listen, I could make it through it. I'm just saying, I would rather someone be there with me. But right. $5 million, I mean, there's no question.
Yeah.
So then, given that you do have a price tag on your bravery,
yeah.
Where is the floor on that? If we establish five as like a reasonable apex. What is the least amount of money that you would actually do it, not just seriously consider? Like, what is the lowest amount of money that you could see yourself spending a night in a haunted jail cell by yourself?
I think $1 million would buy me.
So 900,000 is not enough.
I'd take that.
This is someone.
Listen,
do I hear 800,000? Do I hear 700,000? No.
Well, hey, listen. If I'm just saying, you know, for if you tell me $10, I'd be like, no. You tell me $100, no. You understand what I'm saying? But you talking about $5 million, I'd be like, okay.
$100, no. I'd be like, yeah, I don't. Nah,
I could close my eyes and put some air plugs in or something. I mean, I don't have to hear or see.
Hmm.
You know, for $5 million, man, I'll do it.
Listen, if it's like a attraction like Disney World or something, like if it's like something that people pay to go do, you see what I'm saying? And they have experience stuff, then I feel like $100 is reasonable. But if this is like a really haunted place.
Yeah.
And somebody and they've never been in there and tested it out, and they just like go in there for my cap on that situation is probably $1 million. You have to give me $1 million to go in there. You don't know if I'm gonna die or not. $1 million.
Well,
you know, you can't. If I ask you, will I die? You can't tell me yes or no.
Now, if they tell me there's a 50-50.
That you can die? I'm not taking it.
$5 million is not worth it.
I'm not doing it for $5 million.
No.
That's it.
Yeah, no, we don't have to introduce any other variables here. I'm just talking about like what is the bare minimum threshold of what it would take, financially speaking, to motivate you to go that far outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, okay, $1 million.
In a haunted jail cell.
$1 million.
$1 million.
Unless it was like somebody has this set up, you know, like they have the constraints on it. And they're like, boy, if you go in there, $100. I'll do it for $100.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do it for
I mean,
I want to do this. I want to go somewhere like this and experience.
You would Airbnb a haunted jail cell.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah. Just so the world knows, my price is $1 million.
Wow. Listen,
if you're not gonna kill me, the next worst thing you can do is scare me.
Right.
And I've been scared before. You can't scare me no more.
$1 million sold.
So this is the jail. It's been converted into a hotel. This is the place. It's in Ottawa, which is in Canada, Canada's capital city. Let's see. Jail Hostel is one of the world's only converted former prisons where you can stay the night after being transformed into a hostel, with cells converted into plush rooms bearing the names of those incarcerated there. Once housing notorious inmates hanged for their roles in heinous murders, the jailhouse has been lovingly restored and refurbished to welcome weary travelers in Canada's capital city.
It does sound very interesting. That sold me. That I need to, where is it?
This is in Ottawa, Canada.
Ottawa, Canada. I'm gonna go. That's a trip. That's a trip. You wanna go with me?
That's the bucket list.
Expletive deleted. No,
that didn't make the bucket list.
Yeah, man, that made the bucket list. I'm gonna go because it's interesting. Okay. You get to see who was incarcerated and everything. That's crazy.
Yeah, you have fun with that. Bring your phone. Live stream the whole thing. We'll maybe do a TikTok from there or something. I don't know. Be sure to start that video with I, Kaiko, being of sound mind, do hereby bequeath.
You know. So yeah, man.
Jeez. Anyway, all right. Let me go ahead and check one more thing here. I think we may have one more to go here.
Yeah.
Let's see, before we go ahead and shut down for the night. Before we do that, though, Kaiko and Ash, what's your favorite topic for the night? Let's see if we can go ahead and kill that off really quickly.
Go through them.
Yeah, you gotta go through them.
So we had the mouse and human brain cells in a lab dish. Learn to play Pong. We did that first. That was a user submitted one.
Because listen, we had some good ones now today. We had some good ones. So I gotta.
Yeah.
So you had
Are you a mosquito magnet? The woman freed a swarm of bees on deputies.
Okay.
Let's see. The solo bus riding dog of Seattle passed away. The Han Solo baked into frozen carbohydrates. Neuroparasite turns dead bug into a zombie. Penguin egg rejection. Kit Kat wafers. Blue pumpkins and the eye popping eyes thing, and now we're at the haunted jail.
So I'm gonna give it to you give it to somebody.
All right. So for me, it's between the
one.
Okay, pick one. The brain in the dish thing.
The brain in the dish
and the computer, you know.
the plain pong.
Petri dish thing. Okay. The user submitted one.
Yeah. So yeah.
Zombie Bug gets Brain Spaz's vote.
Yeah, me and Brain Spaz are on the same wave right now. That's my vote.
All right, cool. I'm gonna go ahead and say I'm just gonna go ahead and say that the baked into the Han Solo baked into a thing of bread, I think is my favorite for the night. Just for the raw like memeability of it, you know.
It is very memeable.
So that's basically what that is. I can't find. I think that was all the topics. I don't know how I got an extra tab in here. We'll have to go through on the back end and make sure that we got everything
through. Did you do the one that you said you had to come back to?
That's what I was trying to find, but we're already coming up to the top of the hour anyway. So I'll go ahead and dig through and maybe add it to next week's thing. So to try to get it started.
If it's still relevant.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks so much for watching Weird News right here on Weekend Showcase, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. And thanks for smashing that like button and notification bell. We have one more thing to do here. Yeah, Brain Spaz with the reminder. Dad joke. I know. I have the tablet out. See, our regular viewers know what time it is. We know what time it is. And it is now time for Dad Joke of the Day, which is how we end all of our live streams here. Let's take a look. Well, not all of them, but like we started doing this lately. Okay, so let's see. Here's one. How about this? The trying to figure out. Okay, how about this? Here's a good one. I just spent $300 on a limo and learned. Hang on a second. Sorry, there we go. I just spent $300 on a limo and learned it doesn't come with a driver. I can't believe I have nothing to chauffeur it.
Go away. Hey, man, well, take it.
Chauffeur it, but okay.
Throw it away.
I get it. Yeah.
I didn't write these. Anything.
I don't see how it's a joke, but it makes sense.
Really? That's all I get? Ash, you're a real dad, and that's all that I get for doing a dad joke. All right, you know what? How about this one? Let me do another one here. How about this? Where is it? No, darn it. Okay, how about this? I once saw a one-handed man in a secondhand store. I told him, I don't think they have what you're looking for, sir.
I once saw it again. You saw it at all?
Oh, he said no, man. Listen, say it again.
Hey. Oh, the misery. All right, I guess that's control, basically hitting the gong to try to end the show. Fine. We got our dad joke quota in.
I'm not a real dad. That's all I can say. No. Wow.
All right. Anyway, that's all a wrap for this week's Weird Headlines. What was yours? Drop a comment down below to continue the convo. Visit us at Weekend Showcase on all major social media platforms or Linktree/Weekend Showcase, like in the description and in the crawl at the bottom of the screen, to see it all in one place. And we will be seeing you once again right here this coming Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific for another new trailer reaction show. We hope to see you then. For now, I'm Don. With me tonight were...
Young Kaiko.
I'm Ash. One love. Stay tuned.
All right. Awesome. Before we shut down, do either of y'all have anything to plug? Anything major projects or anything coming up to plug?
No plugs.
Okay, cool.
No plugs. Ash. I told you I need to have some plugs, but we'll have some plugs.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Anyway, so hope to see you Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For now, be safe. Hope you had a great weekend. Showcase you later. Good night.